B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon.
E-class.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, hi everybody, welcome to the program. Felger and Maserati on a Tuesday. Fully loaded program. Tony Maserati alongside from our Townfair Tire Studios. How you doing, Tony?
Good, you?
Just peachy, thank you so much. Thanks for holding down the fort yesterday for what was ostensibly a re-entry Monday, but because I missed it, and a lot of people missed it, as it being the holiday, we're going to sort of re-rack it and just do a re-entry Tuesday.
I like it. See, yesterday's really not a re-entry Monday.
Because
it's a holiday Monday.
Right.
This is the re-entry.
Okay.
Re-entry's on the Tuesday.
So you and Murray may have to go over some of the material you did yesterday. For that, I apologize.
No sweat.
So we got a bunch of stuff from the weekend, okay? I think the All-Star Game and Kyrie Irving playing in the All-Star Game is still my lead story. But really just the whole All-Star weekend, body language, the comments and body language of Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, and Anthony Davis. How do we read all of that, okay? And as it relates to their futures, we'll talk about that. Red Sox stuff from the last couple of days. I want to hit on the Chris Sale sort of news that came out of that ownership thing yesterday. The pitch clock is coming. I want to hit on that. I want to do some Bruins. I want to do some Bruins after a really nice win last night and some more trade rumors involving the Bees. Some Patriots items as well on the table. So we'll get to all those things. If you want to weigh in on any of those, you are by all means welcome. And you may, Jimmy, if you can release the hounds at 617-779-0985. Can weigh in on whatever you want here on a reentry Tuesday. I do have to start off by asking you, though, about the Manny Machado contract in San Diego. Maz, what are your thoughts on that?
Okay, so to me, there were two angles to this. One is more global baseball. One's more local. Let me give you the global one and get it out of the way. What a waste. What a waste. Manny Machado, and again, say what you want, but he's polarizing. And for baseball overall, he's good because he's one of the few guys in the game that evokes a reaction, for crying out loud. San Diego? San Diego. As you would say, whale's vagina.
Yes, yes.
You might as well just bury him in a corner of the country.
In
which
the whale's vagina.
Which effectively, I wasn't going to go that far. But you might as well just bury him in a part of the country where he'll never be seen again, which is effectively what's going to happen. When have the Padres ever been relevant for anything?
The Cubs World Series in 84, whatever year that was?
Okay, total waste. Total waste to have him in San Diego. He'll never finish the contract there. We all know that. They'll trade him in 3 years because they don't want to pay him anymore. And this experiment that they have is going to be a colossal failure. End of story. So that part of it sucks. The other part of it is as it pertains to the Red Sox. And the dots are easy to connect. But I was just reading the Jeff Passan story on ESPN.com. And Passan obviously has covered baseball for a long period of time. And he says that Machado, for all of the groaning about the contract and the things he hasn't accomplished in his career, is ranks among the major league leaders in WAR. I know everybody hates that, but bear with me here for a second. He ranks among the major league leaders in that category over the last 6 years. There are only a handful of players that are ahead of him. One of them happens to be your right fielder.
Exactly. Let me guess.
10 years, $300 million. Okay, and the data suggests that Mookie Betts is a better player than Manny Machado. And if you don't believe that, let me tell you what John Henry said yesterday at his press conference down in Fort Myers with Tom Werner. He was asked about sort of the general pattern that's being established now on free agency. Here is what Henry said.
You can see what's gone on in free agency is that price of WAR has gone up so radically that it's difficult, whether it's a pitcher or a position player, to enter into really long-term contracts at high dollars. And we haven't had a great, we've done better, I think, with pitchers perhaps than we have with hitters and really long-term contracts.
Okay, so two things there. First, Henry is telling you that the value of WAR has gone up radically, which means everybody's using WAR. That's what they're using to pay these contracts. Okay, and again, Mookie ranks ahead of Machado. Secondly, he says, well, you know, we really had more luck with pitchers than positional players. I heard that and I went, And I didn't catch that yesterday. I heard it today and I went, oh boy, they're leaning towards paying Sale and they're not going to pay Mookie. Or, you know, I shouldn't say that. They'd be more inclined to pay Sale than they would to pay Betts. My guess is they're going to try to sign both. But holy crap, this contract is colossal.
Okay, so Reentry Tuesday. That's the breaking news from the world of baseball within the last hour or so. So your thoughts on that? I want to weigh in quickly on the Kyrie Irving weekend, which I think can pretty much be best summed up as saying, F you, Boston. Giant F you. I mean, I really feel that way. And just playing in and of itself is such a slap in the face. I mean, just being out on the floor when the guy can't even be bothered to travel to Philly and sit on the bench and support his teammates in what was at that point maybe the most important game of the year. He couldn't even be bothered to make the 55-minute flight to Philly and sit on the bench. He goes and plays in this All-Star weekend. That is just, the optics of that is so atrocious from a Celtics perspective. All it is, I mean, Kyrie's living up to his word. I'm doing what I want, and it's all about me. And, oh, God, just playing it. But not only just playing it, but the investment and the energy he brought to that whole weekend. You know how excited and happy he was to be there?
I mean, some of the clips are really embarrassing. He's like carrying on with him and Durant are carrying on like a couple of schoolgirls.
It's a joke. and these NBA writers who keep trying to defend him, saying that he's really upset that he's being put in these rumors and is really upset that others are trying to dictate his future form and that these outside influences. Again, Gary Washburn was the very latest who said it. He said the BS that Irving is referring to, and Irving made a comment about the BS that comes with the NBA. The BS that Irving is referring to are the growing rumors that his Celtics future is tied to whether the club can acquire Anthony Davis. He truly despised being dragged into the Davis trade demands and has been surly with the media since. Okay, so who dragged him into the Anthony Davis stuff? LeBron, his agent, Anthony Davis, his agent. Look, Kyrie's linked to all these rumors. He's linked to New York. That's Durant. Did it look to you like Kyrie Irving was pissed with his fellow NBA players and Braun and Anthony Davis and Durant? Did it seem like Kyrie was pissed with those guys?
Nope.
No.
So stop the nonsense. Stop the nonsense. It was the grabbing of ass across the city of Charlotte last weekend for three straight days. How upset did he really look with all the people that are dragging him into the rumors? Because those are the people dragging him into the rumors. Durant, LeBron, Davis, he's getting swept up in that thing. Did it seem like he was upset with those players for dragging him into those rumors? Or was he in the hallway, Murray, and you showed me this clip playing patty cake with Kevin Durant saying, two max deals. I mean, have people seen that?
Yeah, so this popped up on social media last night. I guess it was on an Instagram story or something. And the sound is terrible. And a lot of people are saying that they can hear, and you see Kyrie mouth, two max deals, now's the time. And the way he's talking to Kevin Durant, it's like you're talking to your wife about the fact you're about to buy your first house. Like, there's so much joy and unbridled excitement the way he's talking to Kevin Durant. It's like, dude.
Basically, he's got a couple weeks ago, that Friday of the Super Bowl, he's a chance in New York to end all this crap and just sort of say, nothing's changed, I'm a Celtic. Instead, double freedom rockets to Boston. I'm going to do what I want. Ask me July 1. And just total... But when he gets around the guys that are allegedly dragging him into the rumors, it's patty cake.
It really is. Some of the videos looks like they're playing tag. Like, gotcha. He runs away, comes back.
So look, this doesn't make him a bad guy. If he's a free agent carving his path and dictating his future, good for him. The players in that league have carved out that right, and he's doing it. I'm just telling Boston, just watch the way he carried himself over the weekend versus the way he's carried himself with you.
Well, Maz said yesterday, and I agree completely, I don't know how you can look at his actions over the weekend and still feel good about him re-signing here and Anthony Davis coming here as well. Like, it was bad feelings all around, I think, for Celtics fans.
And Anthony Davis is another one.
Oh, God, the two of them, please. I feel worse about both. After seeing that spectacle at NBA All-Star Weekend, I looked at it and said, oh, my God. Like, I'm convinced. And there are people who somehow looked at that and thought, Kyrie and Durant are conspiring to play in Boston next year. I look at it and say, Boston? They're going to New York. What are you people, blind?
It feels like to me, this is what the body language and the energy, just watching the clips without listening, the whole energy felt like they all got something cooking. They all know where they're going, and it ain't here. It's not you. It's not you. It's somewhere else.
I mean, do you see any of this kind of enthusiasm from Kyrie Irving around his teammates here? Because I don't.
No, because he hates them.
I know.
These guys aren't on his level. Because, and I think that's what that phone call to LeBron was about.
There was a whole other thing over the weekend where he was asked about Marcus Morris's comments about we're not having fun. He went back to the young kids. He referenced the young kids again. Meanwhile, you get him around these guys and it's pants off, man. Pants off. Because that's his world, that's who he wants to be with, and that's where it's headed. Now, doesn't it just feel that way?
Yeah. Oh, gosh, I told you, I feel worse about it now than I ever have. And I hope they keep him. I mean, despite how much of a pain in the ass he is, I still say kiss his ass, do whatever you have to do to keep him. It's reality in that league. But after seeing him interact with Durant and, you know, reading some of the comments he had in the Washburn column yesterday, and I know you were away, so I don't know if you saw them.
I have it printed out, highlighted with vomit marks all over it.
Holy crap.
Having to listen to this guy, Mahatma Gandhi here, playing the point for the Celtics. My God, this guy. I mean, this has been building with me. Like, enough of this guy. I can't take it. I can't. He's just insufferable. And the whole piece about him creating, you know, and leaving and doing what he wants as a free agent, like, that doesn't make him a bad guy. That's, again.
Sure, he's earned that.
He and those players in that league have carved out that autonomy, and they have a situation that other players in other leagues don't have, so go take advantage of it. That doesn't make you a bad guy. You're a capitalist. You know, if you want to stick it to the man, good for you. You're the one set of players that can stick it back to the owners versus the other way around. I don't begrudge that. I'm just, if you're a Celtic fan or a Celtic follower, I don't know how you just watch the way those guys carried themselves this weekend and feel any way, like, I don't know. I just feel like they're all onto something and it ain't us. They got something up their sleeve and it ain't me. And you can just feel it.
Yeah, oh, no. Celtics fans are delusional, as we know. It's like you put a million things out there, and they'll pick the one thing that is positive when the other 999,000 are negative.
I mean, the best news you got was an Anthony Davis saying, yeah, I mean, I'm open to all 29 teams, and in 2021 I'm a free agent. Like, he can't even.
And he wasn't even enthusiastic about that.
No, but, I mean, he in almost any clip it was, he's a free agent in 2021.
Yeah.
And he's going to play out the year, make the best of it.
And make the best of it and whatever.
Right? Like, that's the good news? Like, oh, please. Like, come on. I mean, at some point, you got to stop chasing ghosts and give up the dream and just realize what's in front of you. And I don't know if we're at that point yet, but the body language from this weekend, oh, boy, not great. And even just playing, that is just such an F you. I'm going to take the last couple games off. I ain't even going to travel to Philly. And you guys are on your own on that one. But no, come Friday in Charlotte, I am all over the place, man. I am all over the place, bouncing on clouds. This guy. So those are your thoughts on Reentry Tuesday. Right to your phones, I promise, after this.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something.
Come back and put it in my face.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Felger and Mass.
They suck.
On Boston's home for sports.
Somebody had told me that you had mentioned maybe the Celtics being on that list. I just wanted to clarify. Are they on the list or not on the list?
29 of the teams are on my list.
Everyone's on the list.
I don't have a preferred destination. Like I said, I just want to win. You know, they actually big market, small market. I don't care. You know, I want to win. Obviously, whatever team I get traded to, play for it that year or whatever. If I get traded, I'm not sure. But get the best of it. And then, you know, when free agents, you come see what happens. You know, I can't tell if you, but all 29 teams are on the list.
So just to follow real quick. So people who had reported, it's the Lakers, and then it's the Knicks.
I never gave a destination.
The man Anthony whose Davis voice it is, Anthony
never
Davis.
Gave a destination okay. Where he wants to play.
Okay.
As Anthony Davis from the weekend, it's a reentry Tuesday, everything from the weekend, okay, including the All-Star Game stuff, the big signing of Manny Machado just now. We're going to get to the Bruins, we're going to get to the Patriots, all of it. Let's lead the Neil in Braintree. Go ahead, Neil.
Hi. So I was giving it out for Kyrie Irving to go into All-Star Weekend because I thought he was supposed to recruit Anthony Davis. Turns out, not only does he ignore Davis the whole weekend, but he's recruiting Kevin Durant to the Knicks because there's no shot that they're coming to the Celtics. So where do you go from here? Because the next time there's an outburst, you're going to have Jaylen Brown talking to Kyrie Irving saying how there's 1 foot out the door. So what do you guys think they should do for the rest of the season?
Well, play it out. See if you catch lightning in a bottle and come together and go on a run. And maybe that increases the chances Irving stays or increases the chances Davis will come here for a year and give you a sniff. And that's what you have to do. I mean, there's no the trade deadline's done. What are you going to do? There's nothing else to do.
No, you've missed it. Now you got to ride it out.
Did Kyrie ignore Davis for the most part over the weekend?
I didn't watch NBA All-Star festivities. Sorry.
I mean, Irving and Durant were in each other's shorts.
Yeah.
The entire weekend. I mean, that I did notice. Was he shutting out Anthony Davis at the same time? I don't know. Good Lord.
And if he was, it was deliberate. I mean, the whole idea is I'm not going to be seen, you know, hanging out with him and give people fodder. Although it didn't stop him from kissing Durant.
Billy in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Billy.
How you doing, fella? Let me just hit on a couple of quick points. Irving, I don't know, he's just, they like the big cities. I know Boston's a great town for basketball, but they want L.A., they want New York. They want to be the top guys. They got an ego so big they can't get along with anybody. That's the point of these guys, some of them. The second thing is baseball. Machado, who wants Machado on their team with his attitude? He's a pain in the you-know-where. The guy isn't worth the money. I would never have paid that kind of money for him. Thirdly, the Red Sox, I'll still say, Maz, listen up. They got the best starters in baseball. They got the team put together almost the same as last year. They're going to make a run at the title again.
Okay, babe, we'll put that third thing to that whole signing reeks. That ain't going to work. Well, I said to you off the air, A-Rod to Texas.
Same type of thing.
I mean, the Padres have a good building team. Like, they got some good prospects, and I guess they're building something. I don't know what the Rangers looked like in 2002, whatever year he went there, but it feels like no chance.
Oh, it'll fail, please. It's San Diego.
No chance.
For crying out loud. I mean, it's historically one of the cheapest, most irrelevant franchises in baseball. Who gives a rat's ass? This guy should be with the Cubs, or he should be with the Yankees, or some big market team that matters, not the freaking Padres. Even the name of the team's a joke. The Padres. You couldn't come up with something better than that? That blows. Everything about that team blows. I hate the Padres.
What's wrong with Padres?
Oh, God, the Padres.
Isn't that Spanish for fathers?
Yes.
Yeah, what's wrong with
that? Yeah, they got a, you know, remember their mascot was a little guy dressed up as a friar?
Yeah, like a friar. Yeah, kind of like his religious overtones.
Yeah, that's weak. That's weak, I think. I think it sucks. Like, that's what you pick as your team mascot? The Padres. You can give me something better than that?
It's not going to work. It's not going to move the needle in that town, never mind in baseball.
Oh, God, it's a disaster waiting to happen. He'll be out of there inside of 3 or 4 years tops.
Ryan in Shrewsbury on the South. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey, guys. How you doing? So I just wanted to talk a little about Anthony Davis. I think we can all agree that the Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant thing isn't really looking that good for the Celtics. But let's just assume that if they did trade for Davis, Irving would stay. One thing I haven't really heard you guys talk about that I think is a pretty important factor with this whole Davis thing is how the Lakers approach it this offseason. So let's say that the Celtics did trade for Davis. He's not a free agent until 2020. The Lakers only have cap space to sign one max free agent. LeBron's 34. He's going to be 35 next season. I don't know if the Lakers are really prepared to punt on another season with LeBron. All these good free agents this summer between Klay Thompson, Kawhi Leonard, they might decide to go after one of those guys because if they want to wait for Davis until 2020 in order to leave the cap space to sign him, they would have to punt on all of next season. And then LeBron's going to be 36 going into 2020. I don't think LeBron is going to want to let them do that.
Are you sure? What if they ditch the entire rest of the roster and it's just LeBron? Don't all teams have room for three max guys?
Yeah, I don't know about the Lakers cap situation. I haven't invested. But if what the caller is saying is true, like, I'll play along. Maybe this is why he's putting on the pressure to trade for Anthony Davis. because he knows. He knows they're going to be limited. He knows the window's short, and you got to get him now sooner than later. I mean, I know this. If I were a good young player in that league, I would look at LeBron and say, how long am I really going to be there?
Okay, here's also what I know, that a lot of these guys, caller, are taking less than the max for a year and then re-signing under bird rights when they can go over the cap. That's how LeBron did it in the first place in Miami. So if these guys are willing to take less, that goes right out the window. That's the whole premise. So consider that, too. If Anthony Davis is really set on going to Los Angeles, he signs a one-year deal, then re-signs under bird rights and goes signs whatever he wants. I mean, there's a million ways around that. Or at least one. There's that way around it.
I mean, the players in that league have great power now. Great power.
We've got Teddy in Chicopee on Kyrie Irving. Go ahead, Teddy.
Yeah, Mike, you know what about this Kyrie Irving thing? I blame the Celtics. They had all last summer, all the summer, to bring in some help for the guy. They didn't do nothing. They didn't do a thing to help the guy out.
So what does he need?
Another player to play with him so you don't have to pick 80% of the shots.
Okay.
They brought in Gordon Hayward.
Kyrie Irving is surrounded by more than enough talent.
Yeah, that's not the issue. I mean,
more than enough talent to be more than the 5 seed. If you're telling me he's not surrounded by the talent to beat the Warriors, agreed. He's surrounded by enough talent to beat everybody else, and they're the 5 seed. So, nope, that doesn't excuse that.
Yeah, I don't look at it and say the Celtics have somehow screwed him over. I mean, again, they caught a bad break with Hayward, but there were enough players on that team for them to play better than they have.
Here's Scott in Weymouth with a brew thought from last night. Go ahead, Scott.
Yes, what's up, guys? First of all, I'll keep it quick, Falca. Thanks, bud. What a game last night. Did you catch it? It was
yep,
late.
Most of it. I watched most of it.
Oh, awesome, awesome. All right, this team is rolling. I'm telling you, they're peaking at the right time. But just a little complaint, I guess, if I have to complain about something. They were fortunate to get out of the win. Here's my question to you, Felger, as a fellow hockey guy. Why didn't they call a timeout? They were up 3-0, then they were down, or whatever the heck the score. I couldn't keep up. It was a ping-pong game. But why didn't Cassidy call a timeout when clearly the ice was tilted towards San Jose's way? Why do hockey teams hold on to timeouts?
Okay, so for the last minute. And so I didn't watch all of it. I didn't catch the last couple of minutes. I thought your second guess was going to be something that worked out for Cassidy. Down a goal, a minute and a half left, and he's got the Fribble crew out there. He's got the Wagner, Achari, Corrali line. Like, Claude, what are you doing? Oh, they scored and tied it up.
That's happened to him more than once this year.
So Cassidy's got his own little Fribble crew going on here. And that he should. That's their third best line.
Should have been the goal should have been disallowed.
Are you sure he didn't touch that again before it hit the ice?
No, but once you take it out, if you control it over your shoulder, there's supposed to be a whistle, right?
No, not if you're the next one to play it.
You sure about that?
Yeah. You can play with a high stick if you're the next one to play it. And so that
okay,
was,
I heard differently on the NHL Network this morning.
I thought, if you play with a high stick in the middle of the ice, it's as soon as your teammate touches it, they whistle it dead. But if you're the next one to play it, that's what I thought.
Okay, maybe you're right. They said it wrong this morning.
I'm definitely going with who's ever on the NHL Network over me. I thought the whole point was you can play with a high stick as long as you're the next one that plays it.
Okay, the way they said it this morning is once that stick goes above the shoulder to control the puck, it's a whistle.
Okay, well, they might have gotten, either way, whether it was the right or the wrong call, it was a lucky bounce, and it was the Fribble crew that put it out there. It was 3-0, then 3-1, then 3-2, then 4-2. Then it was 4-4 at the end of the third. What are you going to call a timeout with 20 seconds left in the second period? Logan Couture scored on a
penalty shot.
Belly shot after a breakaway shorthanded. So I don't think there was a chance there. Then it's 4-4 into the third. I think you went down 5-4. I don't know if there was a real natural spot for that timeout.
I mean, the whistle aside, the play by Wagner is ridiculous. I mean, he tried to hammer the rebound. The puck pops up into the air. He knocks it down with his stick and then knocks it in. I didn't think the guy had the capacity to do that.
So,
this is the guy that couldn't throw the puck in the empty net.
Remember?
Cassidy laughing his ass off.
Bruins ranked 4th in the league, meaning overall, 4th best record in the league. They're a top 5 team. Playing themselves into contention, and how should they handle that? We got more Bruins thoughts coming up. We got more NBA thoughts over the weekend. The Manny Machado contract, I want Maz's thoughts. I know what they are, actually, on the Chris Sale contract. All of a sudden, Tony Maz doesn't want to re-sign Chris Sale, which I'm curious about. We'll get to that right after Murray's update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'll come back with a phone call to lead us into the next topic. Greg and Quincy, what are your thoughts on the Red Sox?
Yeah, I was just thinking, you guys have talked several times about how Chris Sale is wired a little bit differently and how winning might mean more to him than his own personal interests and other players. I think a lot of the fans can see that. So to what extent, if any, do you think he'd be willing to go team-friendly on a contract? And also, Michael, past couple of weeks, you've been saying ostensibly instead of offensively. It's kind of been driving me up a wall a little bit. So your thoughts on Chris Sale?
Okay, I'm going to work on that second thing. Chris Sale, I was surprised to hear you, Maz, say yesterday you don't want them to re-sign him.
Not yet.
Why?
I said this at the end of last year. I wouldn't take the gamble right now. I'm worried about that arm, that shoulder. Just, you know, he pitched, what, 30 innings in the final 3 months? He wasn't able to – did he even make five innings in Ava's playoff start? Maybe it happened once. And so I know now they're saying all of a sudden he's fine and everything's good, but it scares me. Now what do I think is going to happen? I think they're going to sign him. I think they're going to give him 5 or 6 years. That's what I think. Because they don't have a choice. They got nothing in the system.
I would.
Even though he's broke down the last couple of years?
Any pitcher's an injury risk. They all are. They're all on the verge of a Tommy John, or they have a choice between rest or Tommy John, or they all do. I mean, with rare exceptions. Lester, Porcello, you can name, you know, a few guys. Everyone else, their arm's about to blow. And so, look, I think his risk is the same as any other pitcher. I really do, Maz. Maybe less, because it doesn't look like he would hold up with that, you know, rail thin body and that funky delivery, but he has. If he was really hurt last year, he would have gone for surgery. And I just, you know, I buy in on the makeup. I think he's a different cat.
I like the makeup too. I don't like the build.
I mean, I think he likes it here. I think he wants to be here. I think he likes winning here. I think he's someone that gets this place and suits this place. And I'll take a risk on guys with makeup. I mean, if David Price were up, I wouldn't re-sign him. I'm a little reticent with Porcello, but again, he's durable. Chris Sale, I'm in. I definitely resign.
Scares the hell out of me. I'm sorry. I love the guy too, but I can't ignore the shoulder injury, and I can't ignore the fact that he couldn't go more than five innings in October, and they're related, obviously. But I look at it, wait it out. All of a sudden now they decide to reverse field. Matt McCarthy was in here yesterday at the end of the show. He was doing the night show. And he said on the way out the door, and Murray noted it too, it's a good point. He called it an overcorrection because of the John Lester thing.
So that's true.
Right? So they completely butchered the Lester thing in retrospect and then had to go out and give $50 million more to Price to replace him. And we all know Lester has better makeup than Price.
And Maz, you pointed out too yesterday, and it's right, they have nothing coming in the pipeline. This Jason Groom, who hasn't, you know, a sketchy background, and he blew out his arm last year. They feel like they got nothing left. So that I understand, but I'm sorry. With this injury history and the way he's broke down the last couple of years, you have a big enough sample size here. You don't do it now. You wait until the end of the year.
They're going to give it to him.
The risk is the same. These guys are time bombs. They're all on the verge of blowing out their arm. All of them. So even if he makes it through the year, even if he makes it through a half year, the odds are exactly the same the next season. I mean, what's the difference?
Well, considering all the other guys that are up, he's priority number one.
Close.
Yeah. I'd put him ahead of Bogarts. I'm not sure I'd pay Bogarts. Betts, to me, you know, I have my reservations about Betts because I'm worried about, you know, over the long haul, whether or not he's going to be able to hold up to.
What if the caller, though, Maz, is, you know, what if he gives you a deal on the contract? In other words, 4 years, $100 million. I mean, I know that's stupid. Is it that feel like a little below market? I mean, if Kershaw's 30 and some of these guys are now 30, if that's the number, he says 4 times 25.
I mean, he's the kind of guy that would.
Okay? Right? So, right, if he is that kind of guy.
Okay, but Patrick Corbin just hit the market and signed 6 years for $140 million. Dave Dombrowski has a history and I looked up some of this morning, signing 30-year-old pitchers. He signed Verlander to a big contract. He offered Scherzer 6 years and $144 million. He gave $210 million to David Price. Okay? So I don't think – I think Dombrowski's the one driving it, frankly, because he has nothing else – nowhere else to turn. He's got to give it a sale, and he sold Henry on this bill of goods, and Henry's now all in. So I love Sale. What's not to like? The guy competes his ass off. But you've got a string bean of a left-handed pitcher who missed the second half of the season with shoulder soreness, and now all of a sudden you're going to give him a six-year contract?
It's only half a year he's missed. He actually has a good injury history. He does.
So it's a fluke thing? It's not the beginning of something bigger?
I think the odds on these pitchers are all, they're all bad bets. So you just got to, that's the pool you're swimming in. If you want a pitcher, you got to pay for him.
So again, I told you, I'd wait. Okay, I'd wait. I'll take my chances. If he likes Boston as much as he says, at the end of the year, we'll sign him.
Well, this whole thing about, though, they got burned on the John Lester thing, and so now they're overcompensating. I totally agree with
that. Oh, it's totally what they're doing. Like, all of a sudden, you know, John Henry told us 5 years ago that players are getting to their 30s. The money that's spent there is inefficient. So they let Lester go, although he pinned it on Lucchino yesterday, basically, if you ask me.
He did.
Which is essentially what he did. And now, all of a sudden, 5 years later, well, you know, actually, we've had more luck with pitchers. I think that John is a guy, we screwed up that negotiation in spring training. Murray, you're better at that than
no,
I
that's
am.
Not bad, Mess.
And so I look at that and say, hey, Larry, look out for that.
No, it's an overcorrection. There's no question about it. Chris Sale's just someone I bet on. I would bet on Chris Sale. Cam and Taunton, give me a baseball thought.
Mez, I find you getting upset about the tanking in baseball to be so hysterical because you are the same guy who came in here day after day for years and preached, I trust the process. The Sixers are so much better than the Celtics. Blah, 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 blah. And me and everyone else who loves basketball told you what they were doing was disgraceful. Now it's infected your sport and it's a problem.
Different sport. Different sport. It's a very different sport, Cam. In the NBA, you need a great player to win a championship.
It's still a problem in the NBA.
Sure it is.
We just sort of come to accept it there versus it's a newer thing in baseball. But, I mean, it's not good what happens in the NBA. It's been going on for a generation at least.
I just think that the sport's different too. And so I don't like the tanking in either sport. But, you know, at least in the NBA,
do they collect a check? Do they collect revenue sharing?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't know that for sure, but I don't think there's revenue sharing in the NBA.
So there's a whole financial component that benefits these baseball teams that do it. Tom and Quincy, again, it's a reentry Tuesday, everything from the weekend. How about those Patriots and Odell Beckham Jr. rumors? Go ahead, Tom. You got a thought on that?
Oh, Mike, honest to God, I heard this rumor. I thought of you right away because I know how much you just love the diva wide receiver. I was dying laughing. Like, I can't wait for him to come back from vacation. I got to call in. I want no part of that guy. But since I've been on hold, I've been listening to this Kyrie Irving stuff. Let me just chime in on the NBA. I hate that friggin' league, okay? And these people, it's like they hold these teams hostage. I hate the way that league works. I hate the sport anyway. But if I was like a beat writer for the Celtics, I would be like, hey, Kyrie, why are you such a dick?
Okay, Tom, I'll let you go on that.
You hear that, Sherrod? Chris Forsberg, there's your next question for Kyrie.
He's a candidate for the final word. Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. Skipping your last two games, not even traveling, on a short flight to their most important game of the year.
After two hideous losses.
And then 3 days later, playing in the All-Star game and gallivanting and bouncing around and skipping around Charlotte for three straight days, that's a dick move. It is. It is. I don't know what Kyrie is or isn't, but that is... if you don't take that as an FU, I don't know what to. I don't know what to tell you.
I said this yesterday. He and Durant were like two puppies playing in a dandelion covered field. That's
seriously
what they were, man. They were out there just frolicking about like a couple of puppies.
And 3 days before, he couldn't be bothered to make a 45-50 minute flight to Philly and sit in on the bench and support you. That is just. I don't know. How does that taste?
He's about Kyrie. He's not about the team.
Continue with your thoughts. Long commercial free segment is next.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
What can we say about Felger and Maz that you haven't already screamed in your car?
Sit on that one, bitch, and spin.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You have been on record in the past about being reluctant to commit to players 30, pitchers in particular, 30 or older, the John Lester situation. You then later signed David Price. Is it fair to say that, you know, your thinking on that has evolved a little bit, or does Chris fall out of the norm for you and isn't as big a risk?
I think Chris falls out of the norm because he's just such a great, not just a great pitcher, but a great part of the team. As we saw in the World Series, he had quite an impact just being on the bench of the World Series. So he's a special player. We would love to be able to sign him. I think he would like to as well. But there are the realities of the marketplace and budgets, and this is his opportunity to be a free agent, so potentially, which we'd like to avoid, but I think he would as well, so something could happen.
Is everything you just said sort of applied to John Lester a few years ago?
I think we blew the John Lester, we blew re-signing him in spring training, so for reasons that are pretty apparent now, which I won't go into, but they're apparent.
I'd have your head on a swivel, Larry. Direct shot at Lucchino, right?
Oh, it totally
Lucchino
is.
Runs the Reds.
All right, anyway, back to your thoughts. This, everything else from the weekend, it's a big reentry Tuesday.
Hall of Fame CEO.
Thank you, John. Here's Howard and Randolph. Go ahead, Howard.
How you doing, gentlemen?
Good.
Quick question. You said we're possibly giving Sale that $5 million a year. Is the reason the teams do the same amount every year for budget purposes, or do they ever consider maybe front-loading it? And then,
so I'm going to let you go. So I said 4 times 25. Do they consider front-loading it to, you know, get if you have budget room now as opposed to later? Doesn't really work that way in baseball.
No, it's based on AAV. That's why we throw the number out there way we do.
But they could.
No, they could front. In fact, Luis Severino just got a front-loaded deal with the Yankees.
How so? How badly?
He signed a 4-year deal with an option, and more of he got a pretty good signing bonus, and more of the money is tilted toward the first few years because he wanted to be protected in the event of a work stoppage.
So for
And I think we're headed there.
Well, so, okay, there's player protection, but then there's also, for your budget, when Betts comes up and these guys comes up, you're maxed out now, but you might have a little more room now versus later. And
sure.
So it's just, in my mind's eye, baseball contracts really don't jump around like that much.
Not usually, no. But you may start to see some creative financing, I guess is what I'm getting at. Like, you're starting to see guys maybe come up with some different solutions, because Severino's not the only one. There was another one, the kid with the Phillies, Nola. He signed a deal, too, that was, that is giving up some free agent years to get more money now. So you're starting to see it a little bit.
Pete, give me a Kyrie Irving thought.
Oh, God. When you think it couldn't get much worse, I don't know if you guys saw this. You know, he coached the All-Star Young Stars.
Yep.
He was the coach. Well, there's an article on NBA.com by Taylor Snow, and it starts off, rising stars may have produced a rising coach in Irving. You guys get a chance, you need to read it. You want the answer to the question, Mike? The reason it doesn't translate when Kyrie's playing, it's not his talent, it's because he thinks he's better than anyone else in the room. If you guys get a chance to read this, you just bang your head against the wall. His ego is so inflated.
Oh, my God. Well, I read the Globe story that I'll read to you quotes from later on that just had my head spinning. But we asked, how come his great talent, which is, you know, unmistakable and irrefutable, how come that hasn't translated to a better win-loss record on the floor? Is it because he doesn't play Brad Stevens' style? It's sort of outside the system, so that gums it up a little bit on the floor? Or is it an off-the-floor thing where they don't like him or don't, you know, his teammates don't like him and don't rally around him? You think it's the second thing?
I do. I think it's the second thing. I think he's a hard guy to connect to. I mean, he's so weird. He's an egomaniac.
And so you could, like, I think LeBron's a lot of the same things, but LeBron's a better leader. And frankly, LeBron's a better player. He plays at both ends of the floor and can dominate the game at both ends of the floor. Kyrie can dominate it on one end, but not the other. And so guys are always going to look at him and say, well, how about you play some defense? Right? So there's that element too. But I think they look at him and they just don't. The guys don't want to follow him.
Peter and JP. Go ahead, Pete.
Hey, I don't think Kyrie wants to play with Anthony Davis. He's the alpha dog. He's the best player on the team. It's his team. Anthony Davis comes in here. He's the second best player on the team. I really think he likes his teammates, especially Marcus Smart. I think Jason Tatum, it's almost like a big brother, a little brother type of situation. I think he thinks he can win here. I think he likes Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge.
Okay, well, the fact that he likes those guys are kind of irrelevant. But what if they sucked? Would he stay here because he liked those guys? So stick with what are important to a lot of these players. Brand, contract, ability to win. And then for a lot of these guys, apparently where they live. Like, but in other sports, it doesn't matter whether you play the Winnipeg Jets, the Green Bay Packers, the New Orleans Saints. It doesn't matter. In basketball, it matters what city you're in. Okay, but again, ability to win, opportunity for your brand / contract, and where you're at. Okay, that's what matters.
I think you're ranking ability to win way too high.
Right? Well, okay. Do you think it's important to Kyrie that he be the best player?
I'm starting to feel that way, yeah.
So if it is, he and Durant don't make sense. And if that's the case, then do he and Anthony Davis even make sense?
No, I think he wants to be the two with someone he really respects that he feels like is on his level. You know, like, so Durant would be the one. Kyrie's good with being the 1B, I guess, not so much the two. He's proven here he doesn't want to be a leader.
So I'm not convinced that, he wouldn't be the alpha if Anthony Davis is here. Because Davis feels to me like a sheep. I mean, he just, whoever tells him what to do is what he's got. His father chirping about his contract. He's got his agent chirping about his contract. It doesn't feel to me like he has controlled the situation at all.
Chris in New Jersey, give me a thought on the Bees last night. Go ahead.
Hey, how we doing, boys? I just wanted to talk in regards to the missed call that the officials had in the first period that they should have went up 4-1 at the end of the first. And,
Yeah, I still don't. Are you talking about the puck that crossed the line or didn't cross the line?
Definitively crossed the line, Felga.
I don't feel like it did. So
I disagree. I thought it did.
I mean,
and all my friends thought so too.
So, Chris, I thought it crossed the line, but I don't think I saw white between the puck and the goal line, which you have to see, right?
But it looked to me. I mean, you have a point, but I just thought that the puck crossed it, and then just the way that. I don't know.
It was kind of frustrating because that one looked to the naked eye like it did cross the line and they didn't give it to you. And then Logan Couture's one wasn't even close and the ref signaled the goal, or he meant to signal penalty shot or goal, but then they called it a goal and they went to replay. Like, that's sort of frustrating if you're a Bruins fan because I felt like both those things went against you. But on that first one, I never saw enough white between the puck and the goal line.
So I didn't see the sequence with Couture, and I only saw one replay of the goal that we're talking about in the first period. And I saw it quickly. It looked to me like it crossed the line, but I don't remember seeing white in there either. So, I mean, to me, you got replay there, right? If definitively you don't see white, they're not going to give you the goal.
Okay, speaking of the Bruins, I want to get into them just a little bit next hour because, how good are they? Are they any good? I mean, you tell me, because I'm a bad gauge of this stuff.
They're hot right now. They are hot as a pistol.
No commercials. Just an update, then we're right back with that.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.